Hey, I did pray that we would have power in time for the message. And we did. It wasn't looking good. Todd came in, showed me on his phone that the power outage was not going to be restored, they predicted, until 1 p.m. Well, they should have consulted God on that one. They didn't. God says, I can do better than that. And he did. So, great. All right, guys. We're going to dive right into it, because if you're like me, you're thinking about the food. In fact, I discovered a new cologne that many of you men want to consider. I was helping out Jay haul his roaster, and I spilled some of the juices on me. Ham-flavored cologne, I'm thinking it's a win. I'm thinking we can patent that and make our mint. You bet. We can get our own generator so that if the power goes out, we can have power anyway. Okay. So, everybody, today is the last teaching of our One Another series. Been doing this since the beginning of the fall, and this is the last one. And we've been addressing most of the 47 verses that instruct the church, which is us. We say church. When the Bible says the word church, it doesn't mean a brick building. It doesn't mean an organization. It means people, you and me. People who have personally believed in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they are now a member of the church. So, these instructions are to the church on how we're supposed to treat one another. Okay? This is quick review, guys. It's one word in the Greek. It's just one word, allelon. Yeah, that's your Greek word for the day, allelon. Impress all your friends. The word allelon, one word in the Greek, is two words in the English, one another. All right? That's how translation goes sometimes. It's not just one for one. So allelon means one another. But we weren't interested in the passive use of this phrase, like they walked with one another down the road to Emmaus. No, we're interested in the emphatic use of the word, where God is instructing us on how we're supposed to treat one another. These are not suggestions, they're not guidelines, they're commands and should be treated as such. We noted that if you go back to the Old Testament, not written in Greek, written in Hebrew, different language, but when you look for the first emphatic use of the word one another, you find it in this Old Testament book of Leviticus, chapter, 19, verse 11. And it says, do not steal, do not lie, do not deceive one another. And that word deceive can be specifically translated as be true to one another. And that sets the foundation for the use of all of the one another verses. That we need to be honest. We need to be authentic. There needs to be truthfulness at the very foundation of these one anothering verses. Otherwise, they won't have their full effect in our lives. You'll be playing church, as they say. Going through the motions, acting like a goody-two-shoes Christian, but you're not going to have the power because you're not being true. So, that has to be there. What verses am I talking about? Well, we talked about one-third of the one another verses deal with being unified with one another. Okay? Commands like, be at peace with one another. Accept one another. Be tolerant to one another, or tolerate one another. Forgive one another. Do not complain against one another. Yeah, I know, right? Guys, these commands either will not happen, they won't last, Or you'll be a hypocrite in trying to practice them if we're not true, if we're not honest with one another. Another third of the one anothering verses deal with loving one another, all right? It's commands like love one another. It's amazing how that works. And he says love one another in the New Testament 11 times. I mean, how many times does God need to say something before we'll say yes, sir? Once. 11 times. It shows how significant, how important this one is to God. And so it should be to you. Love one another. But it's also captured in verses like serve one another and be devoted to one another. Guys, they either will not happen, won't last, or you'll be a hypocrite trying to practice them if we are not true and honest with one another. There's also about 15%, I think it's close to about a sixth of the commands, deal with being humble toward one another. You know, commands like honor one another, regard one another as more important than yourself, be subject to one another. Guys, these types of verses that we are to be humble towards one another, they either will not happen, won't last, or you'll be a hypocrite trying to practice them if we are not true and honest with one another. It is foundational. And so I thought it would be fitting to end this series with the New Testament commands that tell us to speak truth to one another. Now, it's something that we all agree with, and probably most of us think we already do it. But if we're honest with ourselves, I fear that we would have to concede that we either omit the truth, twist the truth, or outright lie to each other a lot more than we care to admit. So, let's pray, because it could get a bit uncomfortable, you know, around here. So let's do that. Okay, so Lord, you never told us when we became believers that it was going to be easy. Oh, come on in, it'll be easy. You know, that's what it's honestly all. Usually we want to do something if it's easy. And yet here we come into the faith in Christ and it's not easy. It's not for wimps. But you told us, hey, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to help you. I'm going to give you power that you don't have in and of yourself to do it. So, that being the case, God, I ask you to pour out your Spirit. Give us some of that power now just to pay attention and track and take this stuff personally. But also, and a whole lot more so, after this is over and we exit the building, that's when we got to live it. I ask you for a whole lot of power for that as well. In Jesus' name, amen. So have you ever had anyone lie to your face? I mean, it's where you know the truth. I mean, you know it. It's not like, well, you really know it. I mean, you either talk to somebody who was there, or you saw it on video. You know what the truth is, and you're talking to this person, and they flat out lie to your face, and you know it. Has that ever happened to you? Come on, let's see it. Has that happened to you? Yeah. Okay, it's happened to you. How'd that make you feel? Anger. Yeah, anger is one of those emotional responses. Yeah, you know, it can make you sick to your stomach. You know, there's interesting. If you write down lie, L-I-E, memes, you see some interesting stuff that expresses what you're saying, where you just feel violated. In fact, being lied to is considered the greatest form of verbal disrespect that there is. In fact, some consider it to be the chief of human sins, and I'll tell you why later. Let's look at the verses in question first. Verse number one. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. The New Living Translation, the most recent English version, it says it this way. It says, so stop telling lies. That's what it says. I love that. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all parts of the same body. So when it says neighbor, it doesn't mean the guy living next door that you don't even know his name. He's talking about one another in the church. That's your neighbor. Okay, that's what he's talking about. Another verse is in Colossians 3:9. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices. You know, back before you became a believer, lying was like second nature. You know, you did it. It was a matter of survival. You just did it. You learned early on that lying, if you can get away with it, do it. But now that you've become a Christian, you're supposed to put off the old self, the way that you used to live. Get rid of that and stop lying to each other. That seems fairly clear. I mean, why can't we just stop the message here and eat? In about 30 minutes, you're going to wish I had just stopped right now. You know, it's like, come on, let's eat. All right. But no, it seems, why is this so hard to do? That's the problem. It's not hard to understand. It's just hard to do it. You know, in Psalm 12:2, it says, everyone lies to his neighbor. Their flattering lips speak with deception. That's about a 3,000-year-old manuscript, you know, the Psalms. And recently, you know, science, social sciences think, hey, you know, we really lie to everybody. Everybody lies. You know, it's like they're catching up with something that God revealed to us. Time Magazine, back in 1992, they said, lying, everybody's doing it. Honest. Yeah, everybody's doing it. That was 92. Back in 2017, there was a Time Magazine article entitled, Why People Lie All the Time. Doesn't that make you feel good? Yeah, Why People Lie All the Time. Yeah, thank you, Mom. National Geographic, Why We Lie, subtitled The Science Behind the Complicated Relationship with the Truth. I read that and I said, it's not complicated. We don't tell the truth. Or, you know, we can't handle the truth. There you are, Jonathan. We can't handle the truth, right? Yeah, it's not complicated. You know, they're trying to make it complicated, trying to, like, I don't know, dissect it. No. God's known this is a problem from the beginning. In fact, the 9th commandment in the Big Ten Commandments, is you shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. It was a problem way back then. It's always been a problem. So, lying, guys, is a big deal to God. It's a big deal. We write it off. We ignore it. We don't even think about it. It's a big deal to God. Let me give you a few reasons why it's a big deal. One, it's in the top 10. Hey, man, not every command is in the top 10. There's no command in the top 10 about bullying. You know, stop being a bully. No, it's not there. About being a glutton. You know, thank God, you know, I'm about to eat here. It's not in there. It's not in the top 10. About being a jerk. There's no top 10 command, thou shalt not be a jerk. But to not lie, it's in the top 10. Lying is actually listed twice as the top 7 things that God hates. You know, it's like God's a God of love. He doesn't hate anything. He hates lying. There's a list in the book of Proverbs. Keep going. In the book of Proverbs, there's a list, and it says there are 6 things the Lord hates, 7 that he detests, haughty eyes and a lying tongue. And later on, in case you missed it, the first time he says, a false witness who pours out lies. He hates it, guys. God hates it. You had mentioned about how God hates divorce. He hates lying. He hates it. Just kind of feel it for a minute. He hates that. Okay? Lying violates the very nature of God. The very nature. God is the embodiment of truth. Okay? And it violates his nature. There's a verse that says, it is impossible for God to lie. Impossible. He can't do it. He's like a guy, we can't have a baby, you know? He might want to try, but he can't. It's impossible. It's impossible for God to lie. Okay? On the other hand, you got lying imitates Satan's nature. That's what Satan does. That is a part of him. He is a liar. And Jesus said, you are of your father, the devil. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yeah, he's the big daddy of lying. Nobody can lie better than him. So think about it. When you lie, you're imitating Satan. That's so much fun to think about. You know, lying is actually such a big deal to God that he severely punished Ananias and Sapphira in the book of Acts for lying. Can anybody tell me how he punished them? What did he do? He killed them! It was like the death penalty. I just say, thank God he doesn't do that anymore. And there's a reason, if you're confused, why did he kill Ananias and Sapphira? But when this guy lied to me, he didn't drop dead. The reason, but I'm not going to get into it now. But yes, but what it tells us is it's a big deal. This is serious. The last one is this. Lying is considered to be the doorway sin to all sins. Okay, you've heard about marijuana being the doorway drug. Lying is the doorway sin. Okay, this is why. The argument's been made that if a person is willing to lie and believes he can get away with it, then that person is willing to do any sin and just lie about doing it. You see what I'm saying? I have found this to be absolutely true in my relationship. People have lied about cheating. They lie about covering up stealing. You know, they lied about stealing. They lie about lying. Everything. I mean, it becomes a part of them. And if they feel like they can get away with it by lying about it, they'll do it. They will do anything. That's why it's considered the doorway sin. So, there are 5 types of lies. I know, right? There are 5 types of lies categorized by the motive behind the lie. And you should be thankful there's only 5, because if Mark Twain was up here, he has listed 869 different kinds of lies. 869! I think that's thinking way too long about lying, but that's, you know, Mark Twain for you. But no, we're not going to do 869, we're going to do 5. Okay, here they are. The first one is called the cruel lie. This is the lie that's intentional, it's malicious, mean-spirited, it's vengeful, okay? Slander falls under this category, where you knowingly falsely say that somebody did something, simply to give them a bad name, get them into trouble, you know, whatever. That's called slander. That falls under the category of a cruel lie. They lie to see you suffer. That's the motive, is to see you fail. Politicians are masters at the cruel lie. You know, the whole impeachment sham that's going on right now, that is all propagated and generated by lying. That's what's keeping that alive, is a lie. And the Sadducees and the Pharisees, they were good at this. You know, they were using that. They were bringing in these witnesses against Jesus, and they were just lying through their teeth, so much so that they didn't even agree with each other. You know? So they just had to crucify him for telling the truth, that he was the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Crucify him! because their lies couldn't line up. So this type of lying is generated by resentment. When a person feels threatened, you know, hurting people, hurt people, they're scared. But oftentimes the pain they inflict is not in keeping with what they themselves have experienced. It's oftentimes the case when it comes to the cruel lie. You know, this, like I said before, this is oftentimes used in the political sphere, where the issues at stake in their minds are perceived to be so great and so important that it justifies them using what's called the big lie. I mentioned this last week. I wanted to give you guys a little bit more traction on this because it is gaining momentum in our country. The big lie was used in Nazi Germany. That's where it was first coined by, everybody's favorite fiend, Adolf Hitler himself coined the term the big lie. This is in Wikipedia, so I know it's Wikipedia, but I got a quote later on. But they attribute it to Adolf Hitler. A big lie is a propaganda technique and logical fallacy. The expression was coined by Adolf Hitler when he dedicated his 1925 book, Mein Kampf, about the use of a lie so colossal that no one would believe that someone could have the impudence to distort the truth so infamously. Hitler believed the technique was used by Jews to blame Germany's loss in World War I on German General Erich Ludendorff. Yeah, so he coined the term the big lie, attributed it to the Jews, blaming them for Germany's loss in World War I, and then he ends up using the tactic himself. In fact, Hitler's right-hand man was Joseph Goebbels, and Goebbels said this. Going. There you go. This is a quote. You could think that this is happening now, but it happened in Nazi Germany in the 1930s and 40s. If you tell a lie big enough and keep repeating it, people will eventually come to believe it. The lie can be maintained only for such a time as the state can shield the people from the political, economic, and or military consequences of the lie. It thus becomes vitally important for the state to use all of its powers to repress dissent. For the truth is the mortal enemy of the lie. And thus, by extension, the truth is the greatest enemy of the state. Nazi Germany, people. That's where the cruel lie will get you. The cruel lie ended up in the deaths of millions of people. The cruel lie in the hands of powerful people is a terrible weapon. It's right there. That's the cruel lie. There's four more. The next one is called the cowardly lie. The cowardly lie is the one that we're most familiar with. It's to escape consequences. It's to protect yourself from getting into trouble. Right. So my favorite lie, I'm sure of it. I'm sure I do this. You know, I didn't do it. Can't prove anything. It was like that when I got here. That's what it is. That's what that is. That Simpson. You know, that's what it is. That's the cowardly lie. The dog ate my homework. It's the cowardly lie. You know, it's motivated by fear. Fear of punishment. Fear of ridicule. Fear of embarrassment. You know, you often find the cowardly lie come after the question, where were you? Or, what were you thinking about? You know, or, what were you doing? You know, and you're like, you lie, because all of a sudden you're kind of confused, and you got this fear of if I tell him the truth, he's going to get mad at me, he's going to yell at me, he's going to ground me, You know, I don't know, he'll kick me out of the church. All these fears of punishment and retribution flood our minds. And so we lie, and boy, we come so good at it, we can do it without a bated breath. You know, I had a situation, and I got permission. My good friend Donovan. It was a situation 3 weeks ago when he capitulated to the cowardly lie. If he was the only man, we could all throw stones at him. Okay? And he told me that he was over at his sister's watching his nephews and nieces, enjoying some time with them. Instead of telling me the truth, because the truth would have been damaging. I'm not going to tell him what he was doing. He was doing something that was not right and was not good. Well, I believed him. You know, that's what you do. You lie because you can get away with it. All right? And he did. He got away with it. But unbeknownst to Donovan, he had recently believed in Jesus Christ a couple weeks back. And so now there's God in his life. And God said, I just can't have that go over. By some other strange network of circumstances, I happened to be driving to Cresco with my lovely bride to pick up this item that I just randomly put out on Facebook, and this random person that I do not know said, I got one of those. It's a storage chest. And so we stopped by her place to pick it up, and they come out, her husband and her, and she goes, oh, I'm Donovan's sister. Really? That's great. He tells me he was here all night, all day, watching your niece and nephew. And she looks at me with that look that you get when you realize you've been lied to. And she just like, oh, did he tell you that? Yeah. He was not. Yeah, that's when I get the look on my face that I've just been lied to. So I'm thinking, well, I'm going to have to pick up this matter with him. I'm driving home, and I Snapchat the man, not a practice that I would advocate, but I did. I Snapchatted him while on the road driving. I just had to get it out of my head. And I can't remember exactly how the exchange went, but at first he tried to resume the lie. But then he didn't. I was surprised. I mean, he reinforced the lie, but for reasons unknown to me at the time, he then messaged me again and confessed. He lied. This is what I was doing. And he just came clean. He just dumped. I mean, we're talking. I am getting so many. Snapchat message, like, whoa, you know? So I got together with Donovan a couple days after, day after maybe even, and I said, why did you do that? And he said, I'll never forget it. He says, I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be the kind of person that's living a lie. It's a game changer for you, Donovan. Game changer. And now he goes around telling everybody the truth. And I was like, you know, sometimes maybe you should just not mention it. You know, we'll talk about that later. But the guy now really is, he wants to be a man of honesty and truthfulness. He wants to obey God and be true, even if it makes him look bad. But in reality, it just gains my respect. That's what the cowardly lie is. Most of us do it instinctively, and it's not good. What's the third lie? The third lie is called the conceited lie. This one is getting very common these days. The conceited lie, it's used to impress. It's where you exaggerate or brag about something. The fancy word is hyperbole. You know, it's exaggerating. Studies say that 40% of all resumes are puffed up. The resumes, that's probably higher than that. I don't even know how they get. But we're just saying that most resumes, you make yourself look better than you actually are. Why do we do it? Insecurity. We're insecure in who we are and what we can do, and so we lie. All right? You know, there's, it's like, for those of you, I don't recommend a steady diet of Saturday Night Live. But some of their skits are crazy funny, especially if you type in Penelope. Saturday Night Live. Penelope is a character that they produce where all she does is try to one-up everyone else. Grossly exaggerating and lying, but won't then, when she's challenged by it, she won't back down. She just ups the lie even more. The reason it's funny is because it's so true, especially among gamers. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Come on. The gamers will claim to have better skills at this particular game or have completed it in this period of time, or they're just so incredibly awesome. And it's like, dude, just let it go. It's called the conceited lie. They're trying to make themselves bigger and better than everyone else. We usually attribute it to salesmen, you know, the used car salesman idea, right? The door-to-door salesman, the vacuum salesman, you know. It's used in politics. You know, it's really the exaggerated, the conceited lie. I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's go on. The next one, the calculated lie. The calculated lie is used intentionally to manipulate others, to kind of get ahead or to propagate an idea or a worldview. It's intentionally used for a purpose, all right? This is the calculated lie. If you love money or you love yourself, you're going to use it. This is your lie of choice. Motivated out of greed, motivated out of selfishness, power, that's what motivates you. That's really where salesmen come into play. They use the calculated lie to get the sale to make money. Used car salesman idea, you know, that's the big one. But also other types of salesmen. And in politics, the calculated lie is an actual skill. I think they have a class in it. I think that first year freshman congressman, they have to take a class on how to lie. It just seems that way. But, you know, how did the calculated lie that the Nazis used was to claim that the Jews were an inferior subhuman race. And they repeated it enough where the whole society was okay with incarcerating and then incinerating the Jews. How could you ever, ever be okay with that? Because you had been saturated by the lie so much that you bought into it. It's not just for Nazis anymore. The scientific community uses the calculated lie quite efficiently. You think science? No way. Objective controls, you know, peer review. You wish. No. With much painstaking effort and expertise, scientists have fabricated, this has been news here, they fabricated a dinosaur fossil with feathers on it in order to propagate the idea that the dinosaurs evolved into birds. But the whole thing was a fraud. The word that they use is a hoax. You could use the word lie, because it's the same thing. They created it. It's called the Archaeoraptor. It was actually in the National Geographic. There it is. The Archaeoraptor was manufactured in China, but it was so well done that it did get through several checks. But even here in the National Geographic, a researcher that does a lot of the X-ray type of examination of fossils and stuff, he saw a bunch of anomalies that didn't work. He let them know. They ignored it because the end goal, the purpose of propagating the lie that the dinosaurs evolved into birds was too great. And so they ran the article anyways, but of course the bomb did blow up in their face. And it was revealed that it was actually a hoax. And so Science is not immune to this. There's such a strong desire to propagate their big lie of evolution that they will fabricate evidence in order to keep it alive. And it happens quite a bit. Unfortunately, the last lie, guys, that was the calculated lie. The last lie is called the convenient lie. The convenient lie is generated out of laziness. It just takes effort to tell the truth. You know, it takes energy. You don't have the time to tell the truth. And so it's just a convenient lie to get on with your day. We call it the white lie. Okay? And it is. It's motivated out of laziness, either moral laziness or intellectual laziness, where you're not willing to check your facts before you repeat something. Intellectual laziness, it's called the convenient lie. You're just too busy to check the facts. You know, you heard somebody else say it. This is gossip. This is gossip. It's under the convenient lie. Slander is the cruel lie. Gossip is the convenient lie. We just repeat it because somebody else said it. We didn't go to that person and ask. We didn't look into it. We just repeat it because it's a choice morsel. And so we do that. You know, your kids ask you to explain something. You don't want to explain something. I don't know. You do know, but you just don't want to get into it. You know, you do that. You know, people, social settings, how are you doing? Fine. But you're not. You know, it's the convenient lie. You don't want to, it's like, you know, and you know, it's like, I understand. What are you supposed to do, man? Don't ask me how I'm doing unless you really want to know. Just say hi. Nice to see you. You know? Geez, otherwise you're going to force a person to lie because they out of convenience, you know? Or, you know, you look great if they don't. You know, stuff like that. It's the convenient lie. You know, that great message, Pastor. I see it coming now. You know, it's the convenient lie. It's the convenient lie. And so, what do you do about that? It's hard. You know, it's hard. It's just, I'm not going to say this stuff is easy. I'm just a messenger here. All right, just a messenger. Engaging in these kinds of lies, though, will destroy relationships. It undermines marriages. It ruins your reputation. You need to stop it. But how? Truth-telling. It can't be. It is. Peace. All right, guys. We're going to fly through truth-telling because it's noon. Okay, are you guys ready? All right, here we go. How then ought we to tell the truth? It takes these three things. One, you need to tell the truth completely. You need to tell the complete, say what you mean and mean what you say. I mean, it takes practice, but I believe you can do it. It's that what generates the phrase, honesty is the best policy, that means completely telling the truth. Okay. But here's the thing. There's a couple of exceptions I need to put into this. One exception to completely telling the truth is a thing called selective concealment. Selective concealment means not revealing information that could be damaging to the relationship if doing so doesn't lead them to believe a lie. Okay? So, if somebody asks you, you know, how you're doing, and you just had an argument with your wife, okay, you don't need to say, I had an argument with my wife, it was over this and this and this. You don't have to do that. You can, it's a rough day. Had some challenging situations. But you do not need to disclose everything. It's the selective concealment idea. As long as you don't lead them to believe a lie, that's what that is. You still want them, you know, you don't want to say, great, my life. What do they say? I'm living the dream. No, you're lying through your teeth. You're lying through your teeth. Stop it. Okay, that's an exception. The other exception is the priority of love. Okay, this is what I mean by that. Love, as you read in 1 Corinthians 13, says love protects. And sometimes you are in a situation where sharing the truth would put a person in mortal danger. Okay? Christians had to do this when they were harboring Jews in their basement. And the SS would come to their place and say, "Do you have any Jews in your home?" You lie. You lie with a smile on your face and with peace in your conscience, because lying is protecting people from mortal harm. Be happy about it. It's love. Love trumps the truth in that sense. And this is rare situations, guys. But I want you to realize that when you tell the truth, if it puts somebody in mortal danger, lie! It's loving to do that when somebody is, but telling the truth puts them in mortal danger. It's rare situations, but I'm telling you, if we ever get there, you need to go there. And you can do it with a smile on your face because you are acting in love there. Rare exceptions. I needed to mention them, but don't use them lightly. Our standard practice is to tell the truth completely. Number two, I'm going to skip the verse. Number two is to tell the truth consistently. Consistently, because if you're not truthful all the time, how do I know? How do I know when you're being truthful? Any of the time, how would I know? I wouldn't know. It's like the boy that cried wolf. That whole story about the boy who cried wolf, it's all about telling the truth consistently. Because when you get around to telling the truth, no one's going to believe you. And then you're going to be in a world of hurt. Tell the truth consistently. Truth telling equals trust building. Okay? That's what it does. It builds trust. You think, well, if she knew what I did, she would never trust me again. You tell her what you did, let her deal with the hurt, and then she will trust you even more so because she knows that you're now a truth teller. You're not living a lie. But by being honest doesn't mean you need to be brutal. Even if you're telling the truth consistently, you don't want to be brutal. Again, that's the selective part. Last thing, you want to tell it completely, you want to tell the truth consistently, and you want to tell the truth lovingly. Sorry, Bob, I couldn't come up with a C word on that one. If you have one, please share. But you tell the truth lovingly, or in other words, tactfully. Don't use the truth as a club. Well, you know, I've got to tell the truth, so here it goes. No, come on. You need to tell the truth lovingly. Ephesians 4:15. We're definitely going to say Ephesians. Instead, speaking the truth in love. Even the Bible says that's what you got to do. You got to speak the truth in love. We will grow to become, in every respect, the mature body of Him who is the head. That is Christ. You want to grow up? You want to be mature? You want to be somebody? Tell the truth in love. In love. You got to make sure the timing is right. You got to choose your words carefully. You need to own your stuff. Okay? Don't start bringing their stuff into it. If you're going to come clean about something in your life, don't just start pointing the fingers at them a little bit to make you feel better about sharing. No. Own your stuff. Don't accuse them of anything. If they've done wrong, let them own their stuff. You own your stuff. You want to make a point without making an enemy. You need to tell it in love. So, how do you do all this? Okay, guys, here's your application. Who are you not being honest with? This is where you think personally about your own life. Who are you not being honest with? Who have you led to believe a lie about who you are or about what you're doing? Decide now. Decide today to be true and to be honest. You don't want your life to be a lie. You don't want to live a lie. You just don't. You don't. Proverbs 28:13 says, "He who conceals his sins does not prosper." Who are you not being honest with? Who have you led to believe a lie about who you are and about what you're doing? Decide now to be true, to be honest. But you've got to make the truth acceptable. Some stuff that you might need to share with somebody could be very painful. Proverbs 12:18 says, reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. That's what we want. That's what you want. When you tell the truth, you want to bring healing to the situation. So you choose your timing. You choose your words. You own your stuff. Okay? You do that, and you will experience what Jesus meant when he said, you will know the truth. And the truth, it'll set you free. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you, God, that your word is so good. Just could like dig into it and talk about it and share it. And then they're going to get around living it. And it's hard. It's hard out there on the road. No one's watching or thinking you can get away with it. It's hard. But God, I pray that every person here, every man, every woman, every child, every one of us, God, I pray we just say, I have had enough with living a lie, lying to my friends, lying to my parents, lying to myself. I'm done with living a lie. I get one life. I get this is it. I get it, and this is it, and I don't want it to be about a lie. I want it to be about the truth. I want to be a man or a woman that's true and honest. Go to sleep at night with a clear conscience. The kind of person I want to be. Even if it makes me look bad and it hurts a few people initially, take God at His word.